to talk about a diversion. This has been a three-year diversion from what President Trump was elected to do. He said he was going to move to stop these wars. He was going to take power away from the warmongers. And in the process, the warmongers did everything they could to seize his administration. It's important that Americans realize what the real issue is. The real issue is not just that they don't like Donald Trump or they think Trump is a bore or a bully or a sexual pervert or any of these things. They don't mind those things, really, because this is a learning moment for the American people. Most people know there's something screwy in Washington. There's something wrong, that their interests are not being served. This is an opportunity to show them who's doing it and why. So I want to make sure that, people get the story behind the story.
I'm proud to share with you Tetragen, which helps you transition to a healthier, happier, and thinner you without cravings or side effects. Our metabolic hormones are the underlying problem that doom every diet and exercise program to fail. They control our metabolism, cravings, how much we eat to feel satiated, blood sugar levels, and even our energy levels. Tetragen is formulated with four clinically proven patented ingredients that help rebalance your metabolic hormones in roughly 15 to 20 days, depending on the amount of weight you want to lose. Once your metabolic hormones are rebalanced, you'll be on the path of long-term, sustainable weight loss because Tetragen is the first in the world which is scientifically formulated with four clinically proven and patented active ingredients to help you reach your targeted weight in two distinct phases. Phase one, rebalance your metabolic hormones, and phase two, accelerate fat loss. The best part is that Tetragen comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose besides weight? Learn more with the link below. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have Harley Schlinger coming back. I know he's one of my favorite guests and the listeners' favorite guests, and he has great information to share with you on what the central bankers are doing. I know we went through back and what they're doing in their annual meeting, and there has been a lot going on since then. We also talk about, I call them the great diversions with the impeachment and with this virus. Now, these diversions are very serious, but they are diversions. And so it's important that we understand the big picture and the strategic on what's really going on. So he is just phenomenal at helping us break this down and communicating in a way that people can understand. And so I have his contact information, and you have the ability to get to his blog. I have that in the show notes, and please sign up for it. He has a weekly article that he does, and you can stay on. He also has a 10-minute overview that he's doing daily so that people can stay informed on what's going on. So I have links to all of that in the show page on my website at sarahwestall.com. And I want to tell you, my podcast is doing really good. And not just the United States is doing okay. You know, it's made the top 10 now in business news, but it was number one in business news in Switzerland. And then it made the almost cracked the top 100 in overall news internationally, which to me is a big deal because I'm up against all the big wigs that are that they have access to. And it did the same thing in Denmark. It did the same thing in Australia. It didn't reach number one, but it cracked, got to like 120 in Denmark, and it got close to that in Australia in overall news. So I'm really proud of that. So that's telling me that people internationally are also listening, and we're giving them information that's useful for them that they can't get in mainstream media and they can't get in their own media. So I really appreciate that. And please share my show, please share my podcast, because that's the only way we're going to get past this massive censorship campaign is by you sharing this information with people. So the ones that are sharing this, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And for my patrons, I really appreciate it, how you are supporting this work, and it's really keeping this going. And I'm so thankful. And I think it's important that we all realize it's up to us to share this information and to get this out there. And I want to tell you about what my patrons get. They get discounts on some of the products that I offer, including C60. The better discount is there. I have like 10 ebooks up there. I have exclusive interviews. Lately, I haven't been doing as many exclusive interviews because so much of this needs to be public. So, if it's something I can do, I have a couple coming up that are exclusive, but when the information is just so serious, I need to get it out to the public. But again, thank you so much. And please sign up for my newsletter, because that is a way to know what shows that are coming up. The virus, I'm constantly giving updates on real information on the virus. I'm working with Sherry Edwards with Bioacoustics. She knows what the frequencies are now for this virus. And I have that up there. I have sound files. She will have a sound file solution that you can share with everyone. We need to mobilize people to get that information out there. She will have that very soon. So if you're watching this on February 3rd or 4th, then it will be by the end of the week. If you're watching it 4 days after I put this out, then it might already be out there for the public. Please join the campaign of saving lives. But at the same time, let's raise our A game, let's raise it and realize that these are diversions and we still need to be on track and strategically minded as to what we need to do. That we're awakening to a greater picture of getting over this structure, this corrupt abuse of humanity and getting beyond that. So I appreciate all of you and we're in this together. So let's get into this very important interview with Harley Schlinger. Hi, Harley. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Good to see you.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. So much has happened in such a short amount of time. And I think, with the impeachment and then we have this virus, it seems like it's just diversion after diversion. Unfortunately, these things are in and of themselves are very serious. It's just they're diverting from something that is really serious. And so I want to get to the bottom of all that. But one thing that we talked about before we started is the impeachment, and there's a bigger meaning behind all this and that we can't just let this thing fall behind. Can you discuss what you meant by that and what we need to do from here?
Well, you want to talk about a diversion. This has been a 3-year diversion from what President Trump was elected to do. He said he was going to move to stop these wars. He was going to take power away from the warmongers. And in the process, the warmongers did everything they could to seize his administration. And when they couldn't control it, they ran the hoax, the Russiagate hoax, then the Ukrainegate hoax. They're going to continue this with taxes, with everything they can throw at him. And it's important that Americans realize what the real issue is. The real issue is not just that they don't like Donald Trump or they think Trump is a bore or a bully or a sexual pervert or any of these things. They don't mind those things, really. What they are afraid of is that Trump is trying to break out of the control that has been in the hands of this transatlantic elite, especially since the assassination of John Kennedy. And what I mean by that is that this idea of a unilateral policy from London and Wall Street to impose economic austerity, deindustrialization, population reduction, and at the same time, war after war after war in the search of destroying sovereign nations so they can impose a top-down dictatorship. And we now see that with people like Mark Carney from the Bank of England, who's saying the bankers are getting together and they're not going to loan money to anyone except those people investing in the green bubble. So I think it's important that we use what is probably going to be a victory in impeachment when there's an acquittal in the Senate. Don't stop at that. We've got to look at the deeper question of who is involved and why. Because this is a learning moment for the American people. Most people know there's something screwy in Washington. There's something wrong, that their interests are not being served. This is an opportunity to show them who's doing it and why. So I want to make sure that people get the story behind the story. Because look, if you look on the surface, Pelosi, Adam Schiff, these guys are lunatics. They're delusional. I don't know if Adam Schiff believes what he says, but he certainly comes across as a almost a cult member of an impeachment cult or an anti-Trump cult, but there's more to it than that. So I think it's important that the story continue to be filled out, who did this and why.
Well, I think the important thing that you said so that people can connect some of these dots is they don't, all the things that they're blaming Trump for, they are guilty of themselves. And even worse, they don't care if someone's a pervert. They have pedophiles all around them. They don't care if somebody has crooked deals, because we know they have crooked deals up the wazoo. So these things that they're saying isn't true. So what is behind all this? That's the big question. I think that's what, and people, anybody who's intellectually honest with themselves has to be able to see this obvious farce. And so that's a good thing in the sense that it's so obvious. If it's not obvious to you, then, well, if it's not obvious to them, they're not watching this program, right? I don't even know what to say about those people.
Let's just take one of the examples that's important, which is why Ukraine became the center of the second controversy. This goes back to something that happened in 2012 to 2014, which was a decision for regime change in Ukraine. Who was behind that? Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, the neoconservative movement, the British, because Christopher Steele, who wrote the dossier against Trump, was in Kiev for much of that period, networks in the State Department, and the media. Now, what was their intention? Were they really trying to root out corruption in Ukraine? Of course not. If they were, they would have done something about Joe Biden and Hunter Biden. Joe Biden was the point man for the Obama policy, which was to carry out a coup that brought into the government and the security apparatus neo-Nazis. And if you say that in the mainstream media, they black it out, even though you can actually see people marching as part of the Ukrainian security forces with Nazi symbols on their arms. They're self-admitted Nazis, the Azov Battalion and so on. So why would the U.S. government or a section of the U.S. government and intelligence community support neo-Nazis in Ukraine? Well, the reason is because they want continued confrontation with Russia. They don't want a reset or a shift out of the old geopolitical confrontations to replay the Cold War. They don't want to end that. They want to continue the money going into defense contracts, but more importantly, they want to continue the existing financial system, which is breaking down. And there's a shift going on, which includes countries like Libya, Iraq, Iran, and others that are looking to get beyond the petrodollar system, but more importantly, China and Russia, that are trying to base their economies on physical economic production, not speculation. And the people behind the geopoliticians, behind the John Boltons and that type, the ones who fund their think tanks and so on, the so-called military-industrial complex, are not just defense contractors, although that's part of it, but it's the bankers, the insurance companies, the ones who get called in to, quote, build democracy in a country. They're not building democracy. The idea that we have national security interests in Iraq, we wouldn't have destroyed the country if we had national security interests. Gaddafi, he gave up his weapons of mass destruction program, and what did we do? As Hillary cackled, we came, we saw, he died. And what was left with Libya? So as you're pointing out, anyone who can see these things would have to conclude these are the biggest gang of screw-ups in world history, which is true, they are. But is it unintentional? What are they really trying to do? And the fact that there has been an exposure that they wanted to destroy these countries in the Middle East for the same reason the British tried to destroy them at the beginning of the 20th century, to sustain this imperial colonial policy. And so therefore, what's the threat? Well, you get Trump who comes in and they say, oh, Trump is ignorant. He's a bully. He doesn't know what he's doing. You know, he may not have the most pleasant personality in the world. And, you know, I don't know everything about him, but I know he made the point. He wants to end these wars, and he was right for his reasons, because we're spending trillions of dollars to destroy countries and destroy our country when that money could be going into education, infrastructure, healthcare, and so on. Now, anyone who doesn't support him on that is a fool, like Adam Schiff or Nancy Pelosi. They're supporting the war policy. That's why they're embracing John Bolton. You know, wouldn't you think that some Democrat somewhere would be scratching his head or her head and saying, why are these guys supporting John Bolton, the conservative's conservative, who admitted he would lie for the sake of carrying out his policies? So I think what we're looking at here is an open book on these guys. But the problem is you can't get it through in the mainstream media. Trump is trying to do it with tweeting, but I think there has to be a much bigger effort made to expose what's behind Schiff and Pelosi, because Adam Schiff isn't making the policy. You know, he's just a little puppet thrown in there to run the campaign. The policy comes from London and Wall Street. And I think that's the important point I'd like to get across in our discussion.
Well, I think that one thing that you said is that we need to get beyond these things. We do have some diversions, and these diversions are really important. Like, we had to win this impeachment battle. We have to deal with this crisis, this epidemic, the virus. But at the same time, that it's like we have to up our game, and we have to deal with these things, but we can't let them divert us at the same time. Like I was saying to you before, I am going to cover this virus with Sherry Edwards, who has solutions, and she's on the edge of this. But at the same time, I am not going to drop the other things that I'm doing, because the other things that I'm doing is what they want us to drop this. So what do you say to that? How do we keep people focused on the most important things? I mean, it is important to focus on this virus. We need to win that. We need to win against impeachment. But we can't let them divert us.
Well, you're absolutely right. There are a lot of things that people get pulled into because they mean something to them personally, like the opioid crisis, or, you know, unemployment, or suicides. You know, there are all sorts of things that you could devote your life to. Now, these are important things, especially if a family member is touched by them. The question is, why are these things happening? We're a society of supposedly civilized human beings. How do we end up with the problems of pedophilia and Satanism and destruction of education and things of that sort? So you have to look at the fact that there are people who are promoting these things. And the question then is, why? What is it that took us from being the most productive nation in the world, where our children were viewed as the greatest resource we had, where we knew that it was human creativity that was the basis of increasing the productive wealth of society, into a world which is governed by quick buck speculation and turning most people into so-called disposables or deplorables, as Hillary would call them. So this has to do with a dramatic shift that goes back to the 50s and 60s, the development of the counterculture, the move away from the idea of physical economy. In fact, the idea that if you produce something, it's bad. If you eat meat, you're destroying the environment. You know, if you drive a car, you're destroying the environment. You know, this is where you see the insanity. And if you don't accept the viewpoint of the green quackery, if you don't accept it, well, then you're like a Holocaust denier. You're denying the facts. Everyone has a consensus. Well, the consensus often is wrong. If we only allowed consensus views, then we probably would have died out as a civilization a long time ago. Now, that's what I appreciate about Trump. Whatever else he is, Trump has recognized that he's being targeted because he represents a threat to the establishment. And most people who voted for him because of that. That's why people voted for Bernie Sanders, because they want someone to challenge the establishment. They may be wrong in their choice with Bernie, because I think Bernie is showing more and more that he's part of the establishment. But they want someone who will break out of this control. And then when you see this kind of attack, what's the point of it? To make people think, well, maybe I chose the wrong guy. Maybe Trump's not the right guy. Maybe he's gone a little too far. No, the problem is that you're dealing with a network of evil people who have to be identified. So we need the Barr and Durham report to be finished. I think we should have hearings in the Senate on what Horowitz said, because a lot of people are trying to dismiss this. Well, he didn't really nail anybody. He wasn't supposed to. He didn't have subpoena power. He gave us a blueprint to the absolute criminal activity of the FBI in targeting a presidential campaign. This goes back to Obama, to Clapper, to Brennan, and it can serve as the basis for developing the roadmap that hopefully Barr and Durham have. So I would say to your listeners who have been disappointed that no one's been hauled off in orange jumpsuits yet and in handcuffs, that will come provided we defeat the impeachment, and they're going to keep running it. But secondly, that we insist that the truth come out. And I think that's really the most important thing. Don't get pessimistic by the deferral or the truth being deferred. You keep fighting for the truth for its own sake. And, you know, for me, the fact that Trump has done that is probably the best thing about his presidency.
Well, it takes a lot of courage and will, strong will, to do that. One thing that you talked about that I want to make sure that we touch on is crashing the financial markets in order to get rid of Trump. What is the likelihood that they are going to try to do that? Because they don't care who they hurt or what they do. What is the likelihood that they will, that will be their last, you know, pull the pin on the market and just get rid of Trump?
Well, looking at it this way, if you're supporting the Democratic Party because you don't like Trump, you're not going to get a popular candidate out of this gang. They're a bunch of buffoons and identity politics and, you know, promise them anything. There's nothing there. There's no substance. That's why none of them can turn up higher than 20% against each other. So it's not going to be won on the battle of ideas. In that sense, Trump has already won. So what are they going to do? They're going to go after him on more on the impeachment to try and show that he's corrupt, immoral, you can't trust him, he's a liar, and so on. I think that will fail because their biggest effort has already failed. The Mueller report showed they were lying about Russian collusion, and now it's clear that they had nothing to back up their articles of impeachment. The second attempt is to get him caught up in a war. And this was a bipartisan effort to try and get Trump to get into a war with Iran. We came to the brink of that. And fortunately, it was pulled back. Now, why do they want to do that? Well, Trump promised he's going to get us out of the wars. If between now and November, we start having American soldiers coming back in body bags because we're in a war with Iran, a lot of the Trump base is going to say, well, he didn't deliver on his promise. But he has. He worked with Putin to crush the terrorist operation in Syria. He's been working to try and get around his own administration to end the wars in Afghanistan and to keep us out of a war in Venezuela. I mean, he's actually done quite a bit on that. And also, Trump is working with Putin to solve the Ukraine situation. That's the irony. You know, these guys come up and they say, oh, we're so worried about the people of Ukraine who are being attacked by Russians. There's no Russian invasion of Ukraine. It's a complete lie that everyone swallows. More importantly, Zelensky was elected because, number one, he said he would fight corruption, and two, he would end the war. So he's talking to Putin now with Trump's blessing. Instead of welcoming that, people who claim they like Ukraine are saying, no, Trump's not listening to us, therefore he's got to go. They turn a policy dispute from a bunch of inside bureaucrats into we're right, he's wrong, so we should impeach him. So, you know, on all of these issues, the essential feature here is identifying who's doing this and why. And we have to make sure that there's a solution that's presented as well. And I think that to the extent Trump had an economic solution, it's been thwarted. So we come back to this economic question. That's the last card they have. George Soros, of all people, at the Davos conference that was just completed, was there on the last day saying, this stock market boom is not going to last. It's going to blow out, and it's going to bring down Donald Trump. Now, when Soros says something like that, he's not making a prediction. He's involved in shorting the markets constantly. He's involved in doing the things that can blow it out. He also knows that it is a bubble. And the problem is that President Trump has become somewhat dependent on that. Now, this is where Trump has to come out and say, look, we have created jobs, we've done certain good things, but we haven't gone all the way because we haven't put the central banks under the control of governments. Instead, governments are under the control of central banks, which is why in your name and my name and the people's name, we're creating trillions of dollars of worthless helicopter money to keep the bubble going. It's not to help Trump's campaign. It's to make the wealthy people richer and at the same time drain funds from the real economy. So I think this is where the president has to get a new set of advisors on economics and level with the American people and say, look, we've done some things on trade. We've done some things by rejecting the green policy. But now we've got to make sure money goes into the real economy. And the best way to do that is to put the Federal Reserve under complete control, in this case of the president, or let's just say the money supply under the control of the president, the way John Kennedy tried to do when he issued treasury bills to get around the Fed in 1963. That would work. So I think this attack on these central bankers is absolutely crucial. And if you'd like, I can go through some of the machinations they've been up to recently, which are literally stealing our future.
Well, I think that's important for people to really realize why we're talking about this. This isn't just, you know, us being delusional. These are what these people are seriously talking about. So please go through what they've been up to. I mean, we talked about what they did, talked about at their annual meeting in August, but I know a lot has been done since then. So please update us.
Yeah, what you and I talked about, which really created ripples in the blogosphere and on the YouTube, they've gone much beyond it now. Remember, it was Mark Carney from the Bank of England working with a team of bankers from BlackRock, the largest equity fund in the world, who called for a regime change in finance. And what they said at the time is that we need to have the green bubble, which means no more money going into coal, into oil, natural gas, nuclear, only into solar, windmills, and energy technologies, which cannot provide the energy density that's needed to run an industrial economy. But secondly, they called for budgetary control to be taken away from elected governments and put in the hands of central bankers. Now, at the time, we said this is a banker's dictatorship. And maybe some people thought we were inflating the case, you know, so to speak. Well, what's happened since then? We just had the Mark Carney at Davos said that he's now pulled together all the major banks in the world and made it clear to them that central banks will not provide them credit unless they sign on to the Green New Deal. There'll be no new flow of credit to go into industry or into scientific research. The only credit will be available for speculation in carbon bonds, things of that sort. And he was backed up again by Larry Fink from BlackRock. So they've already put this in motion, put it in place. Now, this is what Bernie Sanders and all of the Democrats are talking about. They're willing to give total control to a bunch of green central bankers who will use the green policy to steal more. They're not going to stop global warming by doing this.
They don't even care.
Do you stop something that's controlled by this?
Well, first of all, they don't care about us. They don't care. It's bad science. I mean, they're so full of crap. Anyways, keep going.
Well, there was just a report put out by the Bank for International Settlements a week ago called The Green Swan. And what it said is that the financial system will collapse because of climate change. So they're already writing these reports to explain away that their bad policies, their fake policies, are the cause of the crisis. The cause of the crisis is simple. We just continued what led to the last blowout in 2008 of providing total flows of funds into the hands of swindlers and speculators. And what do they do with it? Do they invest in something that produces real economic growth? No, they're opposed to that. They don't want it. They want fewer people on the planet, as they've said. Mark Carney was just made the environmental advisor to Boris Johnson in the new government in England, which is something people should think about. You have these people who are taking fake science and fake economics and merging them and saying, and who's their guru? Greta Thunberg, this poor, manipulated little girl, you know, who they put forward because they figure no one would attack a damaged personality like her. You know, Trump has done it gently, but correctly. I don't know, Sarah, if you saw this, but Trump did a masterful job at Davos, which was not covered in the U.S. media. He went after what he called the false prophets of doom. And he said, this is a time for optimism, not pessimism. We need to have economic growth. How do we do it? We do it by ignoring these prophets of doom. And then he said, look at the great cities in Europe, the cathedrals. Look at the dome in Florence. These are people who undertook projects for which they lacked the scientific knowledge to do it when they started it, but they knew they would figure it out when they completed it. 140-year project for the Dome of Florence. Now, what's fascinating about this is that in attacking the population control nuts and the we're not going to have enough food nuts and all the post-apocalyptic people from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, Trump was echoing what LaRouche said at that time. And LaRouche always used the Dome of Florence as an example of what could be done when you merge beauty and science. So I'm sure that was deliberate on Trump's part because it sends a shiver of fear in these bankers if they think that Trump is not just winging it, but he actually has a plan. And some of that plan may have to do with the economic policies that LaRouche had put forward for all these years. And of course, that's why LaRouche was targeted in the 1980s by the same people who targeted Trump, including personally, including Mueller.
Well, and Mueller targeted him. I think the time is different now because people are starting to wake up to all these games that they're playing. And I did retweet. I did retweet the part of his speech at Davos because I thought it was absolutely excellent. It was probably one of the best speeches he's ever given. Of how to really look forward. It's too bad all the Americans haven't heard it because it's such an inspirational message. And I don't think I've heard from him that good of a message. I mean, that is excellent. I hope he continues to do that because it's really inspirational. I think that's the future. I really think looking, because we have so many science advances and the technology advances that if these, and this is the message I keep saying, if these technologies get in the hands of the wrong people, we could really be in trouble. I mean, these are very, very powerful technologies. But yet, if we have the inspiration and we care about humanity, these technologies can do amazing things for us. So we need that leadership.
Well, Sarah, you're absolutely right. But the key question is, will the people wake up enough so that they'll act to make sure it happens? Because I think, I just was at meetings last weekend, one in Zurich, one in Frankfurt, and I spoke to people who in Europe are beginning to figure out that they do have to rise up against the European Union. There are tractor demonstrations, 10,000 farmers in German cities demanding that the green laws for agriculture be rejected. In Switzerland, they're talking about high-speed rail and certain other kinds of technologies that are being banned by the European Union, essentially. So we're seeing people wake up. They're trying to keep the Chinese out with the Chinese rail program because they say it's a threat to European economics. But what's interesting about it is that what is it that Trump means by sovereignty? And this is what scares them. He doesn't mean America number one, we're the only country, we can do whatever we want. That's what the neocons do. That's their unilateralism. What Trump means is that we're going to have governments that will do what is in the interests of the population of the nation, that we're going to have a national interest that will be reflected in everything we do, and we think other nations should do the same thing in their countries. And when we can collaborate, we will. When we disagree, we'll negotiate and debate, but we're not going to go to war, and we're not going to let private interests take the control over government to do what they want at the expense of the people. That's what the threat is of Trump. So if the American people realize that this idea of government of, by, and for the people is what Trump is talking about, then it's up to us to inform ourselves to know what would work, what is good, like you're talking about. Which technologies are the ones that point to the future? How do we fund them? How do we break the control of these funding mechanisms which say, oh, we're not going to let you have new technologies because it might lead to technological optimism and more people? And I say that specifically because in the 60s, when Kennedy was president, there was a study by the Rand Corporation which said the greatest threat of the Kennedy presidency is he's inspiring optimism, cultural and scientific optimism in the American people, which means they'll have more children, which means the United States will be overrun with too many people. Well, what's wrong with people being optimistic and having children? Well, Greta Thunberg and the Greens say that's the threat to humanity. The children being born today are the threat to the climate. And, you know, a child that's breathing its first breath is taking away your clean air and your cool temperatures. It's a fraud. And it's so incredible that people allow these frauds to dominate. But we cut through it. Look, we cut through it in the impeachment. This, you know, Schiff can wail and moan all he wants. He's finished as a tool to be used against Trump. Doesn't mean he's going to stop, but it's not going to work. But we can't leave it at that. We can't do a victory dance. We have to go after the people who pulled his strings.
I think it's ready to get to our A game. I mean, if people think they're at their A game, well, then bring it up a notch, because diversions are going to be galore, right? I mean, it's going to be, you're going to be diverted every way they can. There's going to be, you know, the info war is real. I mean, they're going to try to, and you can't let that happen. We have to be focused. So where can people, you are the best at bringing this analysis to people, where can they learn more about you and get, I know you have those weekly meetings now, so can you share where people can get more information from you?
Well, what I'm actually doing now is I'm doing a daily 10-minute update, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, which you can pick up on the LaRouche Pack YouTube channel or LaRouche Pack Facebook channel. It's usually up in the morning in the United States because I do it in the early afternoon here. And the best thing, just because when I write articles, as you know, I give more in-depth background. I'm still doing weekly articles. And if your listeners and viewers are interested in getting on my blog, all you have to do is send me an email to my personal email address, and I'll send you the link to get my weekly newsletter. So it's harleysch@gmail.com, harleysch@gmail.com. And I'll send you the link. And Sarah, I have to tell you, I've gotten so many emails from your viewers who are totally passionate about doing something. And so many of them have signed up. And they, you know, it's what makes me feel really good. And that's one of the reasons I like talking to you, because I know that you are educating people. And I just wanted to let you know that people appreciate that. I think this is the only way around the media blackout is to get more and more people to realize they have to go outside of the mainstream to get the real information.
Well, thank you so much. I thank you for everything that you're doing, because you are a gem for getting this information out and to be able to communicate to people in ways that they can understand. So I really appreciate that. And I think what listeners are realizing and why you have moved to this 10-minute daily thing is that you are one of the places they can get real good analysis. And it's true. You know, I talk to and people from all sides of the political spectrum are like, I just had someone tell me who's on the far left, tell me, you know what? I did research on LaRouche's research and they're right on target. And so you're moving minds from all parts of the political spectrum, and that's what I appreciate. They're realizing that, you know, we can be diverse in our ideas of politics, but this is beyond that. This is them trying to take over and do a dictatorship, and it's beyond that now, right? And so that's why, thank you.
I was going to say, that's why the key is don't fall into the small thinking of the traps, what you're calling the diversions, the traps that box people in and put them in a polarized fight over who's going to get a bigger piece of a shrinking pie. We need to expand the pie. That means think strategically. And that was what I've learned from LaRouche in my years of working with him, because he was a strategic thinker of the highest quality. And he had the right enemies, namely the people who didn't want you to think strategically. Those were the people who slandered LaRouche viciously for the last 60 years of his life. So, you know, I think we now have an opportunity, and I thank you for being able to share it with your viewers.
Okay, well, thank you so much. And I know I'm going to have you back in within a month, our monthly review. So thank you so much, Harley.
Okay, Sarah, good being with you again.